All right, welcome everyone. Welcome to week 7. And in last week's video, we're going to be reviewing some of the concepts on that visual, the drawing, or you saw my cartoon. That's the level of my drawing, that just sort of archetypal, very simple. And we're going to go over the concepts of that tonight. And the theme for tonight is called Your Surprising Allies, or Befriend Your Gremlins. And I'll go over the concept of gremlins and what that's about. And basically, in a very simple way, it's kind of a pop psychology term that got adopted because it is a very simple way to describe the protective mechanisms of the ego when it comes to our responses and reactions to stimulation from either, you know, our outside environment or things going on in the body. When we experience any kind of overwhelm of any type, our mind, part of the mind, goes into a protective function, and it compartmentalizes and processes the best it can. And if we don't complete the experience, if we have an emotional response to something and we don't get a chance to complete that experience, the emotions are held in our bodies, in our body-mind system. And anything that remotely triggers a similar kind of response, they're like little landmines in the body. And if anything happens that even reminds us a little bit of something that is not complete or unprocessed, we get a whole reaction to it, a trigger through the body, emotions start bubbling up, and if it still doesn't get a chance to repeat what, to be completed, then what happens is we end up storing it in a file under sort of a certain story, a theme in our lives, and we recycle the emotion over and over again and try to process it mentally. So the guardians of our unprocessed emotions are called gremlins, and they're anything from the feeling around them is like an inner guardian that wants us to be aware of a possible danger. You know, if we had a relationship with a certain type of person, with a certain kind of personality that we found traumatic and we didn't get to complete our emotions around that experience, then anybody with a personality that's somewhat similar can trigger that. And if, once again, if it's considered overwhelming and we're not able to feel it all the way through and let it go, you know, by being very present with the emotion and having it complete its cycle through the body's physiology, then, you know, it gets stored and these files get very, very full. You know, the story on top of story on top of story, like rings in a tree, there's layers compiled with lots of evidence about why we need a guardian, you know, around this kind of person. And basically, all the aspects that have been given sort of labels and terms like, your inner critic or the inner judge, if they're very active and they are in some way, let's say, over-serving or, you know, doing their job, overdoing their job, then these aspects of the mind not only help to repress the emotions and recycle the story through your body, they stop that original emotional response from completing, and they actually build it up. And then what happens is we're carrying around in our physiology all this stuff which can be blocking and does block the manifestation of our true self and what we want to be expressing. So it's kind of like having a lot of little knots in our system, and everyone has them. And at the core of the knot is a scenario that had an emotional response to it, and that did not get to be fully completed with presence and love, did not come to rest. And the studies on emotions, I'd like to just go over just a little bit of some of the science that was very exciting. Since the 1980s, there have been breakthroughs on the study of emotions and the body-mind biochemistry. And interestingly enough, a woman made this incredible breakthrough in the science of healing the body-mind in the 1980s. Her name is Candace Pert. She just passed away, I think, a couple of years ago. And she was doing this breakthrough work on what she published a book actually called The Molecules of Emotion, which proved that our whole body really is processing these emotions. They show up everywhere in the bloodstream, affecting every cell. And she linked the cascade biologically through the whole body of how the body responds to these different emotions and what's going on. And she also found that through further studies that each individual response or emotion had a certain arc, or I like to call it a wave, a situation that triggers a certain emotion or a thought that triggers a certain emotion, that just one trigger or one thought alone by itself would release chemicals in the body for about a 90-second cycle or less. So each thought has, in each situation, has a 90-second life of a biochemical response in the body. So when we get a chance to slow down with our breathing and by becoming very, very present, we can address each wave of emotion in the present moment as it rolls through our body like a wave. Now, of course, you know, these old file cabinets in the body have knots upon knots upon knots, you know, tied together. So when we're really triggered with something big that's quite alarming to us in whatever way, then if we're going to liken this to surfers in the ocean who are surfing waves, you know, it's like a storm on the surface of the ocean. I mean, each wave may be 90 seconds or less, but there's a lot of waves in a storm. So obviously, when something traumatic is occurring and it's repeated and there's all kinds of stuff going on, there's a lot of knots in the body. So that's pulling a file cabinet that has a certain type of experience may have many knots in it, and it may originally feel like an overwhelming load, and it doesn't feel like one wave at a time. However, you know, the surfers, they generally don't go out in the huge storms, but they do love big waves, many of them, the expert riders. And they call, while they're waiting for the one they want to ride, they're waiting for the one where they can experience a good ride. And this can be true with us learning to surf our emotions for healing and clearing, that we don't have to process every little thought and every little trigger, you know, constantly analyzing, what does this mean for me? That really, there's too much analytic dissection going on if you're going to pick apart every little one. There's an intuitive process with releasing emotions that allows us to ride kind of one wave at a time. Even when the seas are a bit stormy, we still can ride one wave at a time. So I'm excited to share with you tonight. There's some very simple techniques, and we've already learned a part of it because of just the way I teach and do releasing. We've already done quite a lot of it. But we're going to take a look at first, you know, I'm going to go over some of the concepts were in the cartoon, the drawing, and on the video for last week, just to get a basis for what we're doing. And maybe some of you, it's the first time you heard the term gremlins and think, well, what's that about? And the reason why I use the term, I kind of like it. It sort of fits the cartoon theme for how to present this visually. So before I go into that, I don't know if any of you have seen the Oscar-nominated animated film Song of the Sea. I know some of you have. I just saw it Tuesday evening, and I was so thrilled to see it right before teaching this class. Monday evening I saw it at the Nickelodeon in Santa Cruz. And first of all, what a feast, a visual feast. Tom Moore, the Irish filmmaker who's an animator, every single frame in this 90-minute movie is hand-painted. It's not computer-generated. Okay, it took him 5 years to create this movie. I think it took him 5 years to create the last movie. And they're astonishingly beautiful on the big screen. I tried watching a trailer on my computer, and it didn't come 1/100th, you know, close to what it really looks like on the big screen. So even if you get to rent it as a DVD, or I guess live stream it on a large or high definition screen, it is an incredible feast. Beautiful, very sort of like folk art, you know, very two-dimensional and flat, the archetypal shapes, and then the dimension of it is in the luminosity, the color, and the sound. So it's nothing like our modern-day animated movies. It's this process of sort of this very ancient, you know, archetypal and very folk art kind of motif, and then this, you know, modern-day technology for the sound and light, and just totally magical. The reason why I bring it up is because the theme of the movie has everything to do with this process we're in, especially for this month of the course. So it might be something you want to watch, because very simply, the myth of the old Irish and Scottish legend of the myth of the Selkie, which is the mythical being that goes between the other dimensions, which are represented by the ocean, and the human world on land. You know, takes the form, can take the form of a seal in the ocean, and then can, when it drops its magical coat, can take the form of a human on land. And I don't want to give the movie away, but in general, it talks about this process of the beautiful, simple, innocent process of releasing emotions and restoring wholeness and healing. So that's as much as I'm going to say, because the movie itself is so magical, I don't want to give it away. I was very inspired by it. I was like, oh my God, I'm teaching this in class on Wednesday. And obviously it's a universal theme, and many people use this theme as a basis for their healing programs and processes. But it's just so beautiful. All right, so let's take a breath and just get present first. On the in-breath, really receive this fresh energy. Breathe in your own presence. Come in for a landing right where you are. And on the exhale, just release yourself into whatever's holding you. And once again, becoming present, becoming aware of your whole body being supported. Breath in and out. Feeling the breath. Maybe putting a hand on the belly. Filling, and exhaling, releasing. Just natural and easy. Letting go, letting flow. And now let's go into a wave of our conscious breath. And this is, as we breathe, filling the belly and arching the back slightly like you do in yoga. And as you fill and raise your shoulders and expand the rib cage, your body waves with the breath. And as you exhale, the back goes flat and you round and the head goes last, kind of releasing down into a C shape. Your spine is in a C shape and initiating from the pelvis, rocking forward, filling the belly, arching the back. And the chest opens, shoulders roll back and down, head goes up, and then exhaling back into the C curve. And just allow yourself to be breathed, right? So the belly fills, the back arches. And in the C curve, as you exhale, the head goes chin to chest last. Following this wave of the breath through your body consciously. At first, we're kind of doing it, and then it's just we are riding that. It's happening through us. It only takes about 3 to 5 conscious breaths to just come into this spacious sense of whole body awareness and just being here, present. We're joining that flow of our life force energy. So let's invite with our hearts, one hand over the heart, one hand over the belly if you like. But breathing through the heart as if there's a mouth and nose right under our hand, inviting our life force energy to guide us through the heart. The emotional intelligence of the heart center. The heart of hearts and the deepest chamber of the heart, the knower that's very close to the soul, both innocent and wise, resting in the still point at the center of peace and in your spacious core. All right, and from this place, call in the energy of your vision, whatever it is that you want to focus on in this journey that we're having. Some area of your life that you want to express more of your true self in. Maybe you want to experience more creativity, more play. Maybe you want to deepen your meditation practice and experience more spiritual connection day to day, more presence. And maybe you're calling in intimacy in a partnership relationship or abundance, prosperity and support of all kinds. Balance and health, wellness, vitality, deep rest, relaxation, regeneration, harmonious family, or kindred spirit friendships. Some kind of community contribution or connection. Maybe it's about sacred space in your home. Or a place you've always wanted to travel and visit. being open to that, receiving that. Whatever it is, it's your vision. It's your inspired possibility. And it connects with your heart like the inspiration of the star in the heavens, like wishing upon a star and then receiving its light all the way into your heart. Yes, this is possible. We don't have to know the form that it takes or the time that it manifests in. If you can dream it, if you feel it, if there's an urge in the heart toward receiving it, you're calling it in right now. From the world of your dreams and inspirations, it exists as a possibility. In the mystery, in the heaven world, in the other dimensions, from source. And you call it in and you feel, gee, what quality would come into my life as I receive this? And you really take it in through your heart because that's what was calling for it. And then down into your body, down into the belly, down into the pelvis, the sacred sacrum, the second chakra, this, the pelvic bowl carries the energy of co-creation, right? It carries procreation, right? And it also carries co-creation. This is where we plant the seed from that fertile, infinite possible field into our own bodies to receive it. We're making room for it. We're making space. We're saying yes to it. And you do this by tuning in to your sensual capacity to receive this vision. What qualities would my life have if this vision took a form? If I really attracted an intimate soulmate, if I was really traveling to and landing on the soil of this place I've always wanted to see, if I had one or more kindred spirit friends in my life, if I felt and received the support of money and resources that I truly want and need to express myself more, whatever it is, if my body came into balance and I felt fully rested and at ease and full of vitality, what would that bring me? Then what? So in just feeling into what this brings and how it feels, the sensual nature of the quality that it brings you, maybe it brings you a warmth in your heart, a feeling of connection, a sense of being supported, an ability to tap into your creativity, the space to create something, the time. So whatever that is, as this manifests for you, think of something in nature that reminds you of this quality, this fullness or freedom, this support, the warmth and connection. Whatever your quality is of your vision or qualities, there's something here right on earth that reminds you of those qualities. Could be the earth itself, a certain landscape or environment. You say, yes, this is sacred space to me. This feels like abundance to me. You know, this is where I feel my power. Or this is where I feel the most sensual. You know, some tropical garden with scented perfume blossoms. You know, whatever it is. Or this is where I feel the most spacious. And so just kind of feel into that environment. What's there? Is there a specific kind of rocks, plants, water source? what kind of vegetation or trees, what's the environment like, the atmosphere, time of day, what's your light source, star, the sun, the moon, what kind of animals are present. Really welcome this environment because it represents and carries the quality of your vision. Your body understands this language. Your body knows connection, fullness, support, prosperity, intimacy, sensuality. Right? The tree knows how to meditate. So just feel into that and enjoy it and savor it. Say yes to it. Say yes to it and bring it, breathe it through your heart and breathe it into your womb space. Say yes to the receiving this beauty. I wonder how much beauty I can receive right now. And then say to yourself, fill in the blank, whatever one of your quality is, I wonder how much support, fullness, vitality, ease, intimacy, connection, sensuality, whatever it is, I can receive and feel right now. Okay, so just continue with receiving that and breathing it in and enjoy it, and then go up to awareness of your body wherever it's sitting and see if you can feel and stay connected to the quality of this energy, feeling it through your whole body. How does it feel bringing that all the way through you from that star in the heavens into your pelvis? Can you feel the energy in the pelvis? Can you feel the connection to the creative life force from the star, through your vision, through your heart, through the stomach, abdomen, all the way into the pelvis? You can even breathe through the pelvis and soak in the quality right there. It's fertility is what it is. These qualities are fertile for your vision. They make you absolutely magnetic to drawing in some form of this, which can surprise you. It can look like what you thought it would look like. Most often, it's uniquely different past anything you can consciously imagine because it comes from the zone of the mystery. You know, we're going past our familiar zone, past what we know and how we think of ourselves, past our known identity to connect with this vision. All right, so just kind of coming back, maybe opening your eyes softly when you're ready and coming back to awareness here and just feel how that feels in your body. Does it feel more juicy, more alive, more awake? Now, from here, I'm going to take you right into the second meditation because this is what we're here for tonight, and this kind of jump starts the process. From here, we're going to be scanning with love our awareness through our body for any place in the body that's kind of holding out, right? It's kind of not on board. And that just may mean that it's feeling tense or contracted, or that it's feeling kind of empty, like just not in the flow of the rest of this flow. It could be as simple as a holding place. I can feel one way down at the nape of my neck on the left side. My whole body feels pretty great, pretty open to this, and I'm aware of an area of tension that's holding way down. It's really more sort of upper thoracic on the left side. It's right there. So you just be aware of a place in your body that has any contraction to it, any tension, or even a lack of flow, kind of a flat spot also is a sign. And if it's comfortable, place a hand over it. If not, just put your attention on it. And, of course, you might have more than one. I do. But just pick one for now. I think we'll be able to go through two of these. So pick the spot and begin by placing a hand over it and breathing. Put a mouth and nose under your hand and breathe. And just lovingly bring your awareness to this area and say, I'm here and I'm listening to you. I care. I care. I want to know what you're feeling. I want to know what you're carrying. You know, whatever it is, if it's a little worry or anxiousness or any kind of fear, it's a little sadness or anything, you know, some frustrations, whatever it is, we don't even have to label it, but if it could make a sound, if it could talk to you by making a sound, now you're all muted, so on the exhale, nobody will hear you. On the exhale, and you can release your hand. I want you to, you know, just feel comfortable. You've already connected with the spot. But on the exhale now, breathe out the sound it would make. Is it groaning or whining? You know, is it screeching? Mine sounds like a creaky door. Like, And when I really tune into it, it sounds like that on the inhale too. Yeah, mine has quite a bit of fatigue in it and like responsibility type worry, which is a form of fear. So just tune into what yours is. Just tune into how it sounds for now. That's enough. Now, if you have a journal next to you, you might want to jot it down. I'm going to put a handout in the members area tomorrow for following this through. But if it could talk to you, if it could say one word or sentence about what it wants, and you just tell it, I'm here and I'm listening and I care, and I'm so sorry that you've been suffering. You know, I'm grateful that you're sharing with me. I'm so glad I'm here with you. I so want to hear you. You're literally opening to something that has been pushed away. And so here it comes, and you're consciously, with presence, inviting it to speak. Now, it may just want to moan or groan again, and that's fine. You can get a sense of the emotions in the sound. Or it may say to you, you know, I want a hug. I want contact. I want to be fed. I want to be nourished. I want rest. I want support. It needs to express and be heard and felt and seen, contacted. And you may notice it brings a flood of a kind of more of emotion, and that's good. Just really create space with your breathing for whatever emotion comes up. Really allow that emotion. It is a sensation through your body. Ride it like a wave. Treat it like the ocean's wave. We're going to surf the wave. We're going to fully accept, give this part of you an energetic hug, and now we're going to go through the conscious breathing like we're riding a wave. Very gently, we're including this area of the body in the wave, and it can make a sound while you go through the wave. So just let your body, as you breathe, remember you're kind of arching the back as you fill the belly. And it's gentle, and then you're expanding the rib cage, and the head is kind of waving a little bit like the end of a grass, blade of grass in the breeze. But the rocking is coming from the root. It's coming from filling the belly. It's coming from being held and connected and supported. And then the breath moves through that area, and it's going to move you. Just like in that first video, the conscious breath wave, you start to move, start to unwind. And you sound out on the exhale, my creaky door is turning into more like a moan. But you stay with your sound. You hear it. You match the tone. You meet the tone in your heart. Let it speak to you and through you. You're staying present with it. You are the space that's holding it. You're moving in that space of presence and heart. You're bringing the love to it. The ocean is moving through you. That ocean of consciousness and presence through the wave of the breath is flushing as you ride the arc of this emotion all the way to its peak. It starts to crest, and the wave starts to wash on the ocean floor or the sand, just like foam. And do that a couple more times. Wash the shore with that wave and release it through your neck and arms, through your back, out the side, wherever it wants to go. You can wave your arms if it feels right. Move your arms with the wave. Let them be moved with your breath. You know, rock your neck. Make a little circle with your chin so the neck is gently rocked. Right, open your jaw if you need to. Exaggerate the C-curve if you're in your lumbar spine. Move your hips. Unravel your hips side to side or in a circle. You're totally held and supported as you're moved. Let it move through the solar plexus in the belly. Another sound if you need it. It can go out the top of your head. It can go out your feet. It can go out your hands. It can move through your throat. It can come out of your eyes. Your eyes can be bathed with this ocean. Your brain can be rinsed like a sponge by the ocean. Deep breath. Slowly coming back to the still point. The movement slows down. Maybe you're already in stillness, or you're slowing the movement down. Let it organically take whatever time it needs to integrate and come back to a still point. And just really rest. Feel your body buzzing. Notice whatever quality is there right now. Maybe the body is buzzing and releasing. Is there more peace? More unconditional love? More acceptance? Inside and out. More willingness? More openness? Centered, brings a natural confidence when we allow ourselves to ride these emotions and stay present and go fully with each wave as it appears. It can feel out of control at first. It can sometimes increase the sensation. We feel a little strange and discombobulated while it's unwinding. The more you are supporting and supported with the connection to spirit, to presence, while you wave through your breath and allow the sensations to flow through your body without a story, fully unwinding in the movement and sounding, connecting and releasing to nature, the more you will get these still points and rest points where you can now absorb the peace, this area of the body, whatever you were able to release or whatever was able to be released in this moment, a piece of it, right? Maybe a big chunk of it. Whatever has been released, now that part of the body and the whole body get to receive a new vibration that helps to balance you. Without a thought, without one thought, it is so natural. And one wave at a time, one wave at a time, back to peace. All right, wonderful. So while you're integrating that, just being with that, I'm going to just talk about the basics, and it'll just float through your consciousness while you're integrating. So our dedication to our vision brings a dedication to self-awareness. It naturally evokes the ability to be aware of and to embody beauty, peace, simplicity of our natural being, of our central core. And we can use our inquiry from this place of rest. I wonder how much peace I'll experience today, this week. I wonder how much creativity will come through me in whatever activity comes to mind. I wonder how much beauty my eyes will see, my tongue will taste. When we're releasing, what's wonderful is whatever's been released, it becomes part of the fertile field for the vision. It's perfect fuel. It's absolutely essential. Like the husk of the seed, when it's shed, it becomes part of the fertile ground. The nutrients in that husk are part of what feeds. So these little pockets in our bodies are actually what we're doing is what I'm calling befriending the gremlins. So what are our holdbacks or are our incomplete experiences, they not only do they not need to hold us back or block or stop visions from manifesting, but whatever limitations and fears or sadnesses or angers and frustrations are tied in the knots in the body, they naturally become part of the fertilizer for the field as the molecules of emotion flood through the body in these waves of 90 seconds or less. And I realize untying these knots, there are sometimes several waves, what surfers call sets, right? These waves sometimes come in sets. And then they choose one of the waves to ride. That's what we're doing. So I'm not saying it's so analytical. You ride one wave and all your problems are solved. You know, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is I'm trusting the process of when we go into the body and we're at first consciously contacting our conscious breathing and becoming very present, contacting the vision, contacting our heart, bringing it deep into the body all the way to the pelvis, that, you know, it will trigger stuff. It'll trigger, well, wait a minute, what about, you know, if this, our mind takes a hold of it and makes problems out of it. Like, oh, God, if that really does come in, what'll that mean in this other area of my life, you know? Like, if my career booms, what will happen with my family life? Or if my spiritual life deepens, you know, will I be able to still relate to my friends? Or whatever it is, the mind gets a hold of it, and what it does, what the gremlins do, let's not just call it the mind, let's use the pop psychology term for just the moment, of the parts of the mind that criticize and judge, that withhold, and that instead of just looking at something, starts polarizing it, saying, oh my God, if this, then what about that? This part of the mind is black and white thinking. It doesn't come from wholeness, and it can't come from wholeness. There's no way it can ever solve your issues or manifest your vision. The worried mind, the critic, the judge, the guardian, cannot manifest your visions. What they can do is lead you to the part of the body that's holding these tied up in knots, incomplete experiences and emotions. They can lead you right there, and you say thank you to them. Thank you so much. I care so much. Thank you for showing me this. That's their job, is to show you where the holding places are. So you are befriending them. You're saying, oh, thank you for showing me this knot in my stomach. Thank you so much for guarding over it until I'm present enough to ride the wave or one of the waves that's there. You know, that's your job, and thank you so much. And that's what gives you the password to pass through the subconscious zone. And the drawing on the video from the zone of your comfort zone or your familiar zone, your known identity, there's a zone between that and the mystery of unlimited possibilities. And it's the subconscious and unconscious zone of limiting beliefs. And I've drawn in, that's where the gremlins are. That's where the keepers of the limiting beliefs are, the guardians, the critics, the judges, the protectors of your unresolved experiences. And the protectors have a hold of, you know, they're guardians of these knots and contractions and flat spots and emptiness in the body, the leaks, energy leaks in your aura. Actually, all of them are partially complete responses to something that there was not enough presence, awareness to complete. Because, you know, probably didn't have a very conscious parent, friend, or guide when whatever was happening was happening. There's no presence. It's very difficult for an innocent, a child, or any of us in a time of overwhelm to stay present with something that is huge. It gets locked in the body-mind. So in order to get the energy to pass from this familiar zone and access the energy of the vision, we must greet these parts of the body with gratitude, with thank you, with graciousness. Thank you for holding this for me. I so appreciate you. You know, what sound do you want to make, which will give you a clue to the feeling? You'll get a hit on what the feeling is. Maybe it doesn't have words, and that's fine. And then you, like a surfer, you know, the waves are there, the sets of waves, sometimes a lot of them. Like a surfer, you're waiting for the one that feels right to ride. And then you let it through the whole body. You do the unwinding, and you can go back to video one if you like to see the basic, where it's just an unwinding. We're not doing this specific a process. But in this process, we're doing the very same thing, and by contacting your vision of what is possible always stimulates the blockages where we hold, oh, maybe it's not possible, you know. It'll show up in our body. So that's the circle and the cycle of the release process. It's not way different than we've learned before. It is, however, very important, or I'll say very potent. It's very potent to be present and to feel, you know, like a surfer, which one of these waves you're going to ride. And it's a feeling of now you're going to move with it. Now you're going to unwind your body. Now you're going to breathe. And please, you know, don't time it if it's 30 seconds, 90 seconds, 5 minutes. Who cares? Or longer. Who cares? You know, we're not about that. It's just being informed by the wave it's like the wave's going to pick you and start moving you. Don't worry about the mind choosing. That's not its job. So you just thank it so much. You thank your guardian, you know, so much. And then it opens the gateway and gives you more energy to access the mystery and the vision. And all that emotion, it ends up as fertile field for the seed of your vision. Okay, I realize that's a lot to absorb in a class and in a process. Hopefully the preceding classes have given you a kind of a foundation for it, and you can always come back to the recording and listen to it again. And let's see, do we want to go right to, while you're, tell you what, I'd love to hear anything about how this process is for you, how it felt in your body, where you found a holding spot in your body, and how riding the wave felt for you. I'd love to hear that. So if you want to, anyone who wants to share, press *6 and then 1 to get into the queue. And while you're doing that, I'll go over some a little bit more basic material with you. So for people who want to share their experience, okay, we already have somebody on. So, okay, caller with the last 4 digits, 4051, you're live. Hello.
Oh, that's me. Okay. This is Catherine from Smith River,
Hi,
California.
Hi. Your experience.
Well, actually, I've experienced this a couple of times. Once all by myself, and I don't know what the difference is. But this time, I felt it in my foot, of all places.
Wow.
In my foot. And it was kind of a whine, like, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And then when I was riding the wave, I said, you are good. Thank you for letting me know. And it just kind of felt like it just kind of started melting away and returning to the earth through the breath, through my foot. I almost felt like I was breathing through my foot.
Isn't that interesting that it can show up in the foot? That's not always the core of the body, you know. So often things show up around solar plexus, belly, or heart. In the foot, there was a feeling of not good enough. Yeah. So how would how would that affect, like, feeling supported, being able to stand up for yourself, being able to move forward?
That's it. Stand up for yourself.
Wow. So that came to you even?
It just now did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just take that step.
Take that step.
Stand up for myself, take that step. That's part of it. Take that step.
Great. So what in nature reminds you of standing up for yourself and being able to, you know, stand in your value and take a step?
A redwood tree comes to mind.
Great. So how wonderful that may be.
They're tall and strong.
Their roots are so intertwined and supported and... Yeah, and how would your life be different, or how would your vision be more manifest if you were able to stand up for yourself and take that step? How do you imagine that would support your vision coming in more?
Well, I feel like I would be more relaxed. I would be more relaxed and feel a little freer.
Interesting. So the more support, the more relaxation.
Yes, and the more relaxation, the easier it is for me to be present and see what's out there.
Wow, that brings to mind something that came through on another call, which was relaxation is a response to being supported. And then that makes you more open to whatever the next step might be.
Mm-hmm.
More confidence, more trust.
Or trust.
Beautiful. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and if anybody else wants to share. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and let's see. Let me just move this. I'm going to work my panel here. Hold on, folks. Okay. Here it is. All right. All right, so I'll take a look in just a second. Here we go. All right, from one thing I wanted to share is about the body's emotional intelligence. And there's emotional intelligence everywhere, as Catherine just illustrated. She had emotional intelligence, a message from the foot. And the redwood tree, you know, the strength, the rootedness, you know, the mind can come in later and listen to it and put it all together, but really, we could never analyze that for her. She couldn't, if she came up with that from her left brain, that would not evoke the healing, right? So afterwards, we can say, wow, look at that, it all fits. And that's kind of fun, and it's something she can draw on. But though the whole body is intelligent, the whole body has emotional intelligence. And I want to talk about three main centers of intelligence in the body. Right? We often think of the head as a main center of intelligence. Of course, it is. It houses the brain, the right and left brain, which has two very different types of intelligence. They are connected. However, they function very differently. But the left brain, which is what we associate with intelligence, speaks to us in language, right? That it's what we access for planning, organization, sequence. It's linear. It's a focusing tool, and it's great. And then the right brain gives us that ability for this whole global or whole body awareness, the seamlessness, where we kind of open the gateways of the boundaries between the body and the environment. We feel one with everything. It's a doorway into oneness, yes? So the head itself, you know, how we think of it, we only think of the tools of the mind often in terms of the left brain. You know, with this right brain gateway connects us to a feeling of oneness and wholeness through the whole body. So then there's the heart intelligence, and the heart intelligence we're now finding is really the most intelligent center in the body as far as being the closest to intuitive guidance. You know, in scientific experiments, people are hooked up, you know, with EKG and EEG, and the heart responds first to the data before the researcher even touches the button for whatever data is going to come. And they do it random, so there's no influence in their posture, energy, or anything else. The researcher doesn't even know what photograph is going to show or what data is going to show up for the person's reaction. And just before they press the button, the heart has already registered the response. So that's a high level of intelligence. And then it takes the brain, you know, comes in second as far as that goes. Also, your gut instinct, your gut knows when something feels off. And we know the saying of gut wisdom, like, that leaves a bad taste in my mouth, you know. That has to do with your gut reaction, or something smells fishy. This has to do with, you'll see somebody kind of screw up their face because they picked up something energetically that informed the gut intelligence. Something is off. And that's a digestive response. Something smells fishy, or that leaves a bad taste in my mouth, or, you know, or a direct sensation that's in the solar plexus or belly of, this isn't good for me. It resonates or it doesn't resonate, gut response. So this intelligence is so important. The more that we have whole body awareness, the more we're able to be informed by the instincts of our gut, the intuitive knowing of the heart, and the right and left side of the brain, and every single cell in the body, our feet. Catherine just had a message for her from her feet. So this is really important to open these gateways, be patient and kind in listening, bringing compassion, the energy of empathy, of gratitude and connection to what we're calling the gremlins, or the actually they're the subconscious energy patterns just holding in the body, right? That's what they are. And it's there like little pockets, just like your visions or time release capsules for what you want to express and experience. these subconscious pockets in the body that feel like landmines, you know, the things we don't want to trip off, they actually are very well timed with the triggers that show up in your life. They're perfect for release if we can be present and ride the waves and release them through the body. Amazing healing can happen, and amazing shifts in consciousness can happen. And shifts in our identity come with the release of the belief systems that are held there. In the next video I'm going to post, and I'm going to give you, 2 weeks to absorb this video. In the next video I'm going to post, it shows these components of the limiting beliefs, what we call our gremlins. There's part of the mind that's holding these unprocessed emotions and, body-mind together, that's holding them in certain locations in the body. It is really, there's a good process and a good way to find out more about what they are. And it's using the Wheel of Life again. So it will show you how to detect through the process of using the Wheel of Life these friction points and holding places. And from there, you can find them in the body. And you can also, it shows a way of tapping into the limited beliefs that are stored there. And I give an example of myself. I do it live. I show myself. I go through the Wheel of Life and go to trigger points, that are up currently in my life. And then I list out and I find out right there while it's being filmed, okay, so what's this about? So it was quite an exercise for me to do it live. Of course, I did the releasing later, similar to the process we're doing right now. But as far as the discovery, if you want to discover in an organic way the limited beliefs and the place in the body where they're held, that video will guide you through it. And I'll just tell you briefly that there is a way to move through these areas of your life on the wheel, right? Just take a colored marker and you're breathing and you're kind of reviewing them during this guided meditation. And you'll feel friction points. You'll feel places where there are glitches. And you go, ooh, what's there? And you go right to the body and you'll find places in the body that resonate and past material that's there. And anyway, that's a whole process I'm going to give you time to absorb. But just for right now, you can see how a very simple process without a lot of, again, both these processes are not analytical. The one we did tonight is not analytical, and the one that I show in the video, the process itself of finding the glitches and feeling into the body is not analytical. Then we look at it and we can see, oh, there's a limited belief there. That's where it shows up and that's where it is. But the process of releasing it, again, it's much more like surfing. All right, so I want to go to this commitment to feeling our feelings all the way through, bringing awareness to the feeling in the body, breathing and moving, giving them sound, and then thanking them and asking them, to speak, to tell you what they want, to express to you this part from Catherine said, I want to stand up for myself. And then going to nature to find what it needs to bring that quality in. You can do that after you come to stillness and you were aware of where that was in the body and what quality it is. Then go to nature and say, okay, that's what I need. I need more flow. I'm going to the river. I need more flexibility. I'm going to the wildflowers or the grasses. Or I need more spaciousness. I had an experience this week I want to tell you about because I have quite a week. I have some online trainings. I had some last weekend and I have some this weekend. So my 2 weeks right after my integration week, there was not a lot of space. I still had my silent day though. But the rest of the time, there was not a lot of space. So I did the meditation where I'm calling in the quality of spaciousness, because on my calendar, it wasn't there. So I did the meditation calling in the quality of spaciousness, and I breathed it through my whole body, you know, like taking the stone, like that smooth stone that drops through a lake, that video, and I imbued this stone with the quality of spaciousness, and I slowly dropped it through my body so I could embody spaciousness within, because it didn't appear to be without. And I had the wildest experience grocery shopping on Tuesday. That's when I was grocery shopping, yeah. So I went, I often do, you know, after work, it's kind of late. I'm at New Leaf in Capitola. And I had this weird experience at the end of the aisles with the cart. I felt like I was like, where am I? This store looks so different. And I looked at it. Did they get rid of one of the aisles? There's like so much space between the aisles. And I felt like they must have closed the store and rearranged everything, because I've never felt. And I often shop late when there aren't that many people. You know, after one night a week, you know, I go late. And one day in the week, I usually go early. And I was just stunned by, they had to rearrange the store. I've been in it so many times, and I looked at the aisles. All the aisles were the same, but because I embodied spaciousness so fully, because I did that meditation, I realized when I was in the checkout, oh, nothing has changed outwardly, but my experience of it is completely different. I felt so much ease and peace around me, and I have a super full week and a lot going on, and I just felt like, wow, it's like the store is different, but literally I was different. So that's what happened for me. I just wanted to share that with you. The meditations are very powerful when you choose what just one quality to focus on and breathe it all the way through your body. Now I'm trying to think. I think that's video number 3, is the inquiry meditation, where you're bringing in those qualities into your body. All right. Anybody else want to share? Tonight is just flying by. That's because we did a long meditation. So anybody else want to share their experience with riding the wave from the place in your body where you felt a contraction into openness or release? Go ahead and press *6 and then 1. And while I'm waiting for somebody to be brave to share, I'm going to just go over something else that I wanted to make sure I passed on to you tonight. Okay, what do we do when we're not in contact with these repressed emotions? What are the drivers that when they're not released and when we're carrying them in our bodies and they don't get a chance to go through this release process? What happens to them? So suppressed emotions, of course, they can end up as body symptoms. And what happens is we end up focused on the feeling that there's something wrong, right? We start mind spin. The story about what we think it's about starts to appear. Things that we suffer, or things that we worry, or people that we blame, or a lot of times blaming ourselves. We get into the victim mode many times. Also, we can avoid these feelings with anything from overeating to too much YouTube or TV, and anything that is, you know, self-criticism is really big one. But anything that distracts you, get that. These are some really interesting ones that I found. Okay, so besides blaming, there's also spacing out. or intellectualizing, rushing. Actually rushing a lot of times is rushing over emotions that are locked in the body. Comparing, right? We get caught in that mind spin where we're comparing our experiences or trying hard. If you're trying, this is one of my favorites, when I catch myself really trying hard, there's something underneath. I'm overcompensating for some kind of insecure feeling or not enough feeling. Because at any time, I mean, there's times for a lot of action. There's times I have a lot to do. There's times where I do push myself. But trying hard and straining is a different mode. And that comes from having to prove ourselves or overcompensating. Yeah, so another one is the whining. The opposite of whining is caretaking, right? Responding to the whining without even being sarcastic. Or the overwhelm and confusion, or getting shy, that can be from feelings that are locked up in the body. Seeking approval, it's one of my favorites. Shopping, over-organizing, how about that one? Cleaning, when I saw that, I was really surprised. I forgot what website I was on with someone who was talking about all the different ways that our drivers, you know, can spin out into activities that fill space. Because what we want to do is we really want to create space for these visions. And is that what we're doing instead, filling our lives with busyness, is a big clue that we're ignoring something important. When you find yourself rushing, when you find yourself busying with kind of lower priority things, you can always rationalize and say they are important. But I mean consistently and continually filling your space with little kind of itsy-bitsy activities or with a constant activity. Say you're you know, always the ear for the friends to call where they dump, but then they don't take responsibility, you know, when you're overgiving or caretaking. And whatever the activity is that's draining or whatever the activity is that's busying or whatever the activity is that's distracting, those three things are on top of an unresolved emotion, of a pocket of energy in your body that would be way better served by being contacted and being breathed. Now, we don't ever have to dig for these. Life gives you plenty of triggers. Whatever bubbles up, you know, you be with it in presence, and then like a surfer who's navigating all those waves that are coming, It's going to choose you. You'll choose the wave will choose you, and then you ride it through your body and you integrate it back into stillness, you know, kind of one wave at a time. Let's see what else. Gosh, we're already over time. Can you believe it? And I guess we don't have others who want to share this evening. That's fine. If you're in your own space. Let's see if there's anything else I want to share with you. There's so much else I want to share with you. Go back to my notes before we close. All right. Yeah, okay, so we talked about how we can sabotage our visions with filling our time with familiar activities that are not as fulfilling. And, oh, I want to talk about your choices for your visions and how it doesn't really matter if you've chosen something that's a solo activity, a very quiet and inward activity, like deepening your meditation practice or, you know, some creative sewing, making your own creative clothing or self-care, slowing down, cultivating the sacred sensuality. These are things that a lot of you have told me you want to focus on. Or if you have something that involves, you know, the outer world, in the public, in front of people, either way, you can have just as much subconscious interference and blockages from limited beliefs either way, because there's huge programming around how much self-care we give ourselves as women. You know, when we're relaxed and receiving, we're not on duty, right? A lot of women have told me that they feel like when they go to a certain level of complete and total relaxation and receiving, a guilt surfaces. There's a guilt because you are in that zone that's outside your comfort zone or your familiar zone. When you are in that complete, deeply relaxed openness, how much you're able to tolerate the relaxation. You know, your tolerance for it means your range of being able to go there and sustain yourself. We're afraid we'll get lost in there and then we'll be off duty, right? We won't be guarding our loved ones or ready to respond to their needs. We are so wired to respond to others' needs that these deeper levels of spiritual connection, of relaxation, of receiving and self-care, they actually, of course, and our left brain knows this logically, that they're going to make us even more available to help our loved ones. But there is this programming in the body. Did we see our mothers do this? I saw my mother exhausted on the couch with her feet up. But it was only after, you know, driving herself to do so many different things. And back then, you know, there was not the division in the home of the chores, you know, were not evenly divided and so on. So it's just a matter of exploring territory. We're pioneers. We're off the map. This hasn't been modeled to us culturally. Or in our families, what's been modeled to us is this driven, busy, fearful, worried activity that was seen as good or on duty and on guard. So we want to go to the places in the body that are holding those programs. It's there. And then with presence, contact, and dialogue, and go through the process, which you'll see a handout on that on the members page, which takes you through these steps. So you can process it on your own. And we will do this very simple process, something like this, on and off through the rest of the program. So this is the just an introduction to a deeper way of doing the process. All right, my goodness, we're already over time, and I'm going to go ahead and